I'm going to call this meeting the Ulster County Legislature to order. Everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance and remain standing for a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Everyone can be seated.
Victoria, would you read the announcements?
Fire evacuation plan. Please note that in the event of an emergency, the fire department has requested that legislators and all others move at least one block away from the county office building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Cell phones. Please silence cell phones for the duration of the session. Microphones. Please be reminded to use your microphones when speaking so that you are recorded for the official record. Roll call. Archer.
Present.
Bartels.
Here.
Collins.
Here.
DeLon.
Here.
Donaldson.
Here.
Eckert.
Here.
Fabiano.
Here.
Gerentine.
Present.
Green.
Here.
Haynes.
Here.
Hepner.
Here.
Litz.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
Mayo.
Here.
Maloney James.
Here.
Maloney Joseph.
Here.
Nolan.
Here.
Petit.
Here.
Roberts. Rodriguez.
Present.
Ronk.
Here.
Warrow.
Here.
And Waltman.
Here.
22 present and 1 absent.
So this month, the session theme is Lyme Disease Awareness Month. Knock on wood, the weather finally seems to have agreed with us and brought us some spring. And, ticks and other disease-carrying insects are quickly becoming active. A serious and growing pervasive tick problem in the Hudson Valley and surrounding region has developed for a number of years. In fact, the Hudson Valley has been referred to as the Lyme disease epicenter of the Northeast. I encourage you all to visit the Ulster County Department of Health's website on helpful information on how to protect yourself and your pets from ticks and what to do if you're bitten. If you find a tick, all the legislators will find a tick removal kit on your desk. Hopefully you won't need it, but I've availed myself, and I know my wife Rachel has also availed herself of the use of these tick kits. Make sure to keep the tick and bring it into the doctor's office with you to make sure that they know, they can do testing to find out whether or not it's Lyme disease positive. And make sure you protect your pets. Keep an eye on them. I know that my dog, George, used to get ticks on him all the time. We've actually been using the Seresto collar for tick prevention and had a lot of success with that. Be wary of new tick, new animal, tick remedies. I know there's a pill that's out there right now. My neighbor's dog just died because it had an allergic reaction to it. So, please be vigilant. It's really dangerous out there, especially, we have a lot of beautiful places to go hiking and to enjoy the outdoors, but make sure you check yourself when you get back. With that, we'll move into birthdays. We have legislator Heidi Haynes on May 23rd. And legislator Manager Green on May 26th. At this time, I'll entertain a motion to dispense with the reading of the previous minutes meeting, the meeting's minutes.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? As always, there are various communications on file. If you'd like to peruse any of them, contact Vicki or one of the ladies in the clerk's office. We're now going to enter a period of public comment. I'd like to remind everybody, please be respectful. Do not address individual legislators. Watch the timekeeper in the back of the room. Tonight, we have 8 speakers signed up for public comments, so we'll be allotting 3 minutes. Please try to keep it 2-3 minutes. And Vicki, who's the first speaker?
Caitlin O'Brien.
Good evening. So my name is Caitlin O'Brien. I'm the Government Relations Director at the American Heart Association, and I promise to keep mine to about 30 seconds because I know you have heard from many of my colleagues about this, and I sent in testimony last month for this. But I'm here tonight to support Tobacco 21. I want to say thank you to this legislature and, of course, the sponsor for bringing this life-saving and common-sense piece of legislation to the floor to vote tonight. Tobacco 21 really has the power to create smoke-free generations and to drastically decrease diseases like heart disease and stroke, which is the nation's number one causes of mortality and number five causes of mortality. You know, Tobacco 21, the reason why it is so successful and the reason why it's going to bring such an impact to youth amongst our community is that it stops young adults from ever picking up their first tobacco products. And this includes e-cigarettes, Juuls, vapes, all these different types of products that we're seeing them use. Additionally, it gets rid of the social source. You know, 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds are far less likely to know a 21-year-old than they are an 18-year-old. So I want to thank you for this, and I urge you all to support this and vote yes. And I told you I would keep it under 30 seconds, so thank you.
Thank you.
Christina Vinica.
Hi, everyone. My name is Christina Wienicke, and I'm the Director of Public Policy for the American Lung Association. I know that you all heard from me last month when I spoke at the public hearing, and I just wanted to reiterate one or two quick points. Again, first of all, thank you to the sponsor and for all of you who will be supporting this piece of critical public health legislation. I know that there's been a little bit of concern among people about the military, you know, aspect of this argument. And like I told in my at the previous public hearing, you know, I very much understand this. My partner, he's a captain in the National Guard, commanding his unit here out of Kingston, New York. And, you know, he's been smoking for 18 years. So he started smoking at 17 when he joined the National Guard. And he is now trying to give up smoking. And, you know, I can testify to how difficult it is to see a strong-willed otherwise healthy men try and give up smoking, you know, at the age of 35. So I know that he would ask you all to please consider the lives of military as important as the lives of any other youth. With that as well, the DOD has said that 175,000 current active military members will succumb to diseases related to tobacco if they do not give up. Every single branch of the military is currently considering their own smoke-free goals. So that really just shows that we're complementing the work that they want to do. We want our military to be ready and fit to serve. There are so many compelling reasons for this legislation. I just wanted to, you know, address that one point, and you all have a great opportunity here tonight to save lives, and I think that that really epitomizes public service. So thank you.
William Davenport.
Thank you for the opportunity. Let me speak to you. I want to talk to you about the Fire Training Center at Ulster County Community College, and my subject is water. I don't need to tell you about the problems of water at the community college. You've spent the last 6 years debating, trying to figure out how to get to the High Falls Water District, but it also affects the whole neighborhood. When the college fills their water tank, oftentimes the people on Stone Ridge run out of water. It's not unusual to have that happen. In one of the meetings, it was discussed that the fire trucks would bring their water. In another, they kind of backed away from that. But I want you to be concerned about the people in the neighborhood who each year lose their water when something goes on at the college. The second part of my talk is too much water. The area that they're going to be in, I live on Route 209 in Stone Ridge. My property on the south side backs up to the college property. On the west side, I come within 20 feet of the college property. It's a swamp back there. And the property that they're going to be using is, I've always called it a swamp, but I guess today it's a wetland. And if they bring their water, are they going to take it back away with them, or are they going to leave it there and add to our problem, which is the water that's there year-round? I advise any of you that go to this property to walk on it. Don't bring your good shoes, because if you walk across the property that they're talking about, you'll have wet feet. I just hope that you all will be good neighbors and be considerate of those people who have water problems in the village of Stone Ridge, and this will affect them. Thank you very much.
Matilda Davenport.
Good evening. I'm the other half of that team. And as Bill has mentioned, this water issue that has been ongoing, we've lived in our home for 55 years. It's an 1820 house, and we love it, and we love our neighborhood, and we love our neighbors. So we have additional concerns about this fire training center as well. We're concerned about the impact that the heavy equipment used for the construction of such a site, six structures, a 35-foot plus tower, will have on our existing trees, shrubs, our marshland, our marsh plants that serve as a buffer separating the residential properties from the college that offer protection from existing lights and occasional noise from our college neighbors. This area serves as a wildlife habitat for deer, bear, and a variety of animals and nesting birds. The woods and marsh are valuable to all of us who live along 209 and along Leggett Road, and we do not want to see them cut down or damaged in any way. We support the protection of our natural environment, and we're very surprised to hear that the county is its own lead agency in this project with regard to this controversial project, I must add, and has bypassed the CEQA process. Why? I don't know. We believe that the construction of six structures with a 35-foot plus tower, the installment of additional lighting that will be needed, the increased noise factor most likely created by the outdoor training exercises and idling of diesel fuel fire trucks, increased traffic from cars, potential diesel fuel emission pollution, and possible groundwater pollution that could threaten the woodland and marsh area, and a filed use schedule that is unbelievable if you study it, will have a negative impact on the college as well as its neighbors. We support our firefighters wholeheartedly, and we feel that they need the space for a training center. This is not the place for it because we're surrounded by residential properties and we're right next to the Kelder Center on campus, which is the oldest building on campus dating 100 years, and it's in that adjacent lot to where this is going to go. Come visit us in Stone Ridge. We'll walk you through our property and show you the swamp, the woodland, and how we are impacted by this. Thanks for your time.
Jonathan Pappin.
Hello. My goodness, Tilly, that was wonderful. I don't know if I'm going to be able to add very much to that. My wife and I are Bill and Tilly's next-door neighbor. So, yes, we are very much impacted by the proposed fire training center, and we wanted to come tonight to voice our deep concern. We have many times experienced absolutely no water, especially in the summertime, and we are very concerned with all the things that Bill and Tilde brought up in terms of our water, our well running dry, which does happen in the summertime, especially being so close to the college. All of Tilde's concerns I have as well. I am interested in the process in terms of how this body moves forward with their decisions. This is my first time attending such a meeting and speaking to you all, and so I thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm just sort of contrasting to the last time I spoke out at a public meeting. I was received a notification, being a property owner, to a gas station that was just going to be redone. It wasn't considered a big deal at the point, but all the surrounding neighbors who had any sort of stake or interest in what these folks were going to do were invited to comment. I'm most eager to find out as much as I can in terms of the process. Will there be some type of formal study in terms of the environmental impact? Will I, as someone who is a property owner very adjacent to this, to the college, be invited or given that information? I want to learn. I want to be a part of that. I do have very deep and very grave concerns, but I want to be more educated, and so I am very much looking forward to as much information as I am able to get. Unfortunately, all I have been able to gather is what I read in the Bluestone Press, and was sent a notification, Bill and Tildy, and said, hey, there's going to be a meeting. You have an opportunity to speak out. And so I would like to say hello and to introduce myself and to say that I would very much like to be a part of this process and be able to voice my concern. And so I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Gene Pappin.
Hi, I'm Jean Pepin. I guess most of what I wanted said was said by my neighbors and husband. I just wanted to say our backyard is our sanctuary. We live on a very busy road, so I am concerned about what happens in the backyard and beyond, and will I see a tower when I, you know, sit outside to relax? So we would just like to stay involved, and I guess that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Laura Cunningham.
Hello. Some of you know me. I came today because I wanted to put in the record my analysis of the discrepancies. What's being planned now is not the plan that you were shown in past. It's very different. It's different in very significant ways. The distance from homes has changed. The height of the tower has changed. There is no true analysis of the land and the water problems that you've heard about. The animals that are listed are deer and mice. That's just not true. It's a very wild habitat, and there have even been bald eagles, which are an endangered species, and there is a picture of a nest in the area. This is definitely not the place. And the last time something was planned, as you know, there were 1,200 signatures on a petition that was entered, and Dennis Doyle wisely concluded it was not the place, that there was significant community opposition. This definitely impacts at least 200 families. It's just going to get bigger. There'll be another petition. I suggest that the legislature look into this so you can see for yourself the differences, and they are profound between what you passed and what is now before you. So please examine these very carefully. I did bring a little letter from the tennis community because they play tennis on the campus, and that is a public resource. And according to most CEQAs, they are not allowed to put something like this next to a public resource. In this new EAF, they don't even acknowledge any public resources. The fact is, the college itself is a public resource, but particularly the athletic area and the child daycare center is there. Think of the construction period, which they say will last 8 to 12 months, from 7 in the morning until 10 at night, with asphalt pavers, concrete, cement mixers. In your backyard, a nightmare. So this is from Mrs. Margarita Meyendorf, and she says, please don't regard us as elitist. We're working people, and the tennis is what we look forward to all week long. It's a health issue for us. If this is going on, we will not be able to breathe. Thank you very much, and I'm going to leave these on the record. I'll be back. Thank you.
The last speaker signed up is Kate Reese Hurd.
Hello. So I want to build on the beginning I made with you in March and April regarding wireless radiation in our time, which must, I believe, from now on be a key factor in everything that we initiate and fund. We've all heard about the electromagnetic field of the Earth, right? To understand what wireless Wi-Fi radiation is doing, we need to picture how the Earth's natural fields work, as described in Chapter 1 of Birds, Bees, Birds, and Mankind. The Earth's magnetic field captures the solar radiation or solar wind of the sun to create a protective shield for all life on Earth. Within this, the movements of the sun and moon, along with atmospheric events, generate variations in electrical eddy currents. Earth's fields instantly permeate everything on Earth and sustain our biosphere. Excuse me. Each location has its peculiarities, and each life form depends upon reading and using specific frequencies and changes in these fields. In the electromagnetic spectrum of frequencies chart I provided you, you have it on your desks, I think. You'll see above the sun's frequencies the ionizing X-rays. Below are radio frequency and microwave radiations. Radio telescopes detect radio frequencies emitted by the sun, planets, and stars. Life forms on Earth, including ourselves, exist within these delicate cosmic frequencies and no doubt detect them too. But now our wireless microwave radio frequency Wi-Fi communications, from primitive radios to modern devices, have entered this life-supporting electromagnetic environment. How is it that Wi-Fi is at all effective? It is because its power density greatly exceeds that of Earth's fields. In small measure, this might not matter much, but the bombardment of our biosphere is now 24/7 and extreme. Wi-Fi is not magic, and it's not harmless. And next month, I plan to speak about the impact leading to Lyme severity. You'll see the two charts from 1987. One shows how the Earth's fields went quiet at midnight at that time, 30 years ago. The other shows how bees responded by quieting. Nature rested. Nature needs to rest, and so do we. You'll also see a graphic showing the effect of internet router Wi-Fi on germinating seeds. This straightforward experiment needs to be conducted in every school, home, and workplace because we cannot see, touch, smell, or normally hear or feel Wi-Fi radiations. Really, was I that slow? This means we must engage our intelligence. Animals have to just accept. We must use our cognitive powers while we still have them in the
Change
rising tide
comments.
Yeah, of Alzheimer's to fashion what we'll do about this legislatively. Thank you. Sorry.
That is the last speaker signed up for public comments, so we're going to move into resolutions. Leaders, are there resolutions into and out of consent?
Please, Chairman. We'd like to move from non-consent to consent. Resolution number 26, 198, and 204.
Yep, I'll second that.
And then...
And
from non-consent to consent? I'm sorry, and from consent to non-consent.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know what you meant. I don't, there was that one. 180, what is it, 180? No, that one was already on non-consent.
183.
Okay, it was already on my list. Okay, so from consent to non-consent, 183.
I'll second that, too.
Okay. On the consent agenda, as amended?
On the consent agenda, we are going to be a short yes with 198 and 204 abstention for Legislator Waltman on both.
We're a short yes.
184 is what? For reasons of employment.
And 184 for Legislator Litz.
And 184, sorry, I don't know where my note went. Legislator Litz, employment.
The consent agenda is adopted as amended 22-0, with the exception of Resolution 184, which is adopted 21-0, with one abstention, Legislator Litz, and Resolutions 198 and 204, which are adopted 21-0, with one abstention, Legislator Waltman.
Okay.
Resolution 120, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 10 of 2018, a local law promoting the use of reusable bags and regulating the use of plastic carryout bags and recyclable paper carryout bags, to be held on Tuesday, June 19th, 2018, at 7:05 p.m.
On the resolution?
We are a short yes with one no, Legislator Geraghty.
We're a short yes.
The resolution is adopted 21-1.
Resolution 156, adopting proposed local law number 7 of 2018, a local law to reduce addiction to tobacco products by raising the minimum age for their purchase to 21.
Legislator Nolan.
I'd like to offer an amendment for a section that did not go through committees. This will be section 3B, to add language to identify military IDs as a valid form of ID. So the language has been circulated, is at everybody's desk. It's or C, an identification card issued by the Armed Forces of the United States indicating that the individual is at least 21 years of age. So this clarifies that that would be an accepted ID.
I'll second the amendment.
Motion to amend made and seconded. Any discussion on the amendment? With none? All in favor of the amendment? On the amendment?
On the amendment, we're a short yes.
Short yes.
The amendment is adopted 22-0.
On the resolution, as amended?
On the resolution as amended, we are a short yes with the following no's, Legislator Mayo, Legislator Lopez, and Legislator Fabiano.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 19-3.
Resolution 157, adopting proposed local law number 8 of 2018, a local law amending Local Law 6 of 2014 to improve and strengthen the Sustainable Energy Loan Program.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short no with the following yeses, Legislator Wuro and Legislator Joe Maloney.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 13-9.
Resolution 160. Setting a public hearing on proposed Local Law Number 14 of 2018, a local law amending Local Law 2 of 2006, a local law adopting a county charter form of government for the County of Ulster, State of New York, and amending Local Law 10 of 2008, a local law adopting an administrative code for the County of Ulster, State of New York, to amend the term of office for members of the Ulster County Legislature, to be held on June 19, 2018 at 7:10 p.m.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we're a short yes with one no, Legislator Geraghty.
Short yes. Take that back. I apologize. We are short yes with one no, Legislator Donaldson.
Resolution is adopted 20-2.
Resolution 161, setting a public hearing on proposed Local Law Number 15 of 2018, a local law amending Local Law 2 of 2006, a local law amending Local Law 2 of 2006, a local law adopting a county charter form of government for the County of Ulster, State of New York, and amending Local Law 10 of 2008, a local law adopting an administrative code for the County of Ulster, State of New York, to create term limits for certain Ulster County elected officials to be held on Tuesday, June 19th, 2018 at 7:15 p.m.
On the resolution?
We are a short yes with one no, Legislator Geraghty.
We are a short yes with one no, Legislator Nolan.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. Resolution 164, appointing a member to the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency Board of Directors.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At this time, I move to amend the resolution to put the name of Richard O. Jones, who resides at 547 High Meadow Drive, Kerhonkson, New York.
One name away and you're putting another name in?
Yep.
After the process we went through?
Are we in debate?
I'm just asking a question. Nobody stopped me, so.
On the amendment, there's an amendment on the floor, yes.
All right.
Legislator Maloney.
This is on. Yeah. Through the chair to Legislator Geraghty, through to the body. As chairman of the Economic Development Committee, all the members, seven of us, went through a rigorous process of interview and selection. Sorry. I keep forgetting that. I think of the old ones. And what we did was we all agreed to come in with people that we felt were considered our bottom three. Mm-hmm. We did that. And the people that were selected are the names that are on these resolutions that you have before you. So apparently, going through the process, agreeing to a process, doesn't matter. To me, this is nothing more. If this goes through, it's a hijack of democracy because we had a process set forth. We followed it to the T. And if the names here were felt to be the best people for economic development in this county.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This process for choosing IDA members used to be a very political process in the body. You know, you'd have appointments from the minority, appointments from the majority. Several years ago, former chairman John Parody had started a process of having interviews, you know, thinking that rather than, you know, having the Republican side pick their couple and the Democrat side pick their couple, let's actually bring in these volunteers who are going to serve the county and serve the legislature in this process and, you know, and interview them, see who would be best, best to serve the county. Now this deliberative process, we've been doing it for several years, six resolutions passed committee, with six of the 10 people who came in to interview had their names on them. One resolution actually failed committee, which I believe a resolution has been petitioned to discharge on that. But nothing stops any of the legislators who are planning on supporting this amendment from putting in Mr. Jones's name in a resolution next month to be the seventh member, along with the six people who passed committee last week. Now here at the 11th hour, we're going to amend it because somebody didn't get their way. Somebody didn't get the person on, on the resolutions that passed committee that they wanted. To me, it's a disgraceful use of legislative power. This action is politics as usual. This action reeks of the kind of backdoor, backroom deals that you only find in Albany and Washington, and that our constituents abhor. Why bother interviewing people and having a transparent process, an actual deliberative process, where we work together, interview people, and make a decision, if we're not going to respect the results of the deliberative process? I say again, just absolutely disgraceful.
Legislator,
yeah.
Thank you. I just want to say that I am disappointed right now, totally, in what is happening. And for anybody who's listening and wants to know where this all is coming from, they should go back and listen to the tape of our original meeting of how the antics started a couple weeks ago, and the antics are still continuing. And I said on that tape, if you listen, that we asked people to put their names forward, and we asked them to put their time in. We took the time to interview them, and the antics started then, and I see the antics are continuing. Thank you.
Legislator Donaldson.
Oh, for one, you're talking about transparency, you're talking about hijacking democracy and all these things. Democracy is when we take this vote here tonight, there will be a majority of whoever the majority comes up with. That's what democracy is telling you. But that is democracy. That's the way it works. On the other hand, when the interviews were taking place and then they were at one point in executive session and people voted, put their names all down on a piece of paper of the ones that they accepted, but did not put their own name on that was their vote, that is not quite democracy. That is not being transparent. And that was one of the problems that came up, was the idea that people chose these, put it on a piece of paper, what their choices were, but their names were not put on it. And then they came out of executive session. That's not democracy, and that's not transparency. Now, I can understand people are frustrated here, but, you know, it's part of the situation when you know, people vote, and that's the way they want to do it. And there's a change being taken, and you'll have to accept it.
Legislator Joe Maloney.
I'd like to agree with Dave on that. I was a little disappointed to find out it was kind of a secret vote, which doesn't seem very democratic to me. But at the end of the day, this is about getting it right. I have long been frustrated picking up the paper every day and seeing one IDA tax exemption after another for businesses that had either broke ground, hotels, which were never supposed to get these types of tax exemptions. People are frustrated. There's letters to the editor all the time. And when it comes to the six individuals we have in front of us, I am okay with five of them. The one I'm not okay with is the one we're speaking about now. Just a couple of months ago, I was sitting right over there at a budget amendment meeting. And I heard TJ Briggs say, you have to hide the money somewhere. You have to hide the money somewhere. I got it right here. I can play it for us. I sent it to a couple legislators. You have to hide the money somewhere. And we were talking about fully funded positions that had been there for years in the budget. And that legislator said, let's hide the money. You got to hide the money somewhere. That's not the kind of person I want giving out millions of dollars of tax exemptions in my county. It's not the kind of guy that the town of Saugerties wants on the IDA because they're frustrated too. So when we stand up here and we wax poetic about let's get it right. How about that? Let's get it right. This IDA has gone out of control, and I'm not the only one that feels that way. As far as I'm concerned, the majority of the county feels that way, but they're not up here today, and they never are, so they're never listened to. Give me a break.
Legislator Jim Maloney.
Through the chair to Legislator Donaldson, very friendly. Seven people sat in that room. It wasn't a secret vote. They were all tallied at the end, and everyone agreed, Dave.
Did you put your name on it, the one?
No one put their name on them. But when they were tallied, they were put on the record.
Let's not do back and forth. Legislator Herblitz.
The process was, after the tally was made, we all voted, and it was not secretive, as to whether each one of those individuals were going to be acceptable for the IDA board. Ironically, what was just spoken is that
the
IDA, you know, you read the paper and they're doing this and they're doing that.
Speak in the mic so they can record.
But this particular individual that they're asking to replace is on the IDA, so he is part of the existing IDA, and the person that is asked to be replaced is someone that is not on the IDA. I find it ironic that you're saying that the IDA is running away, giving away all this stuff, but the name that's asking to be replaced is existing on the IDA. And the person that they're replacing is a new person.
On the amendment.
So we're replacing names. That's what we're voting on.
It's an amendment.
It's an amendment to replace the name.
Yes.
So we are
a short no with two yeses, Legislator Waltman and Legislator Joe Maloney.
Short yes.
The amendment is adopted, 13 to 9.
Yes. On the resolution as amended? I'm going to be a no, Mary Beth.
We are short no with the following yeses, Legislator Waltman and Legislator Joe Maloney.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted as amended, 13 to 9.
Resolution 165, appointing member to the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency Board of Directors.
We are short yes.
I'm going to be a no.
And with one no, Legislator Ronk. Oh, I'm a no, too. I forgot. I'm sorry. Legislator Mayo.
Short yes.
To save you some time, Legislator Mayo, I'm going to be a no on all the appointments.
Okay.
The resolution is adopted, 20 to 2.
Resolution 167, appointing member to the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency Board of Directors.
Legislator Donaldson.
It's very good that we try to put labor on our IDA. It's something that I initiated when I was a chairman, so I'd like to, it's happy that I see that labor is returning.
Labor never left. Fair point. They never left. They're
returning. I'm a short yes.
167, we are a short yes with one no, Legislator Ronk.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted, 21 to 1.
Resolution 168, appointing member to the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency Board of Directors.
We are
on the resolution.
We are a short yes with one no, Legislator Ronk.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted, 21 to 1.
Resolution 169, appointing member to the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency Board of Directors.
On the resolution.
We are a short yes with one no, Legislator Ronk.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted, 21 to 1.
Resolution 170, appointing member to the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency Board of Directors.
On the resolution.
We are a short yes with one no, Legislator Ronk.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted, 21 to 1. Resolution 176, authorizing the issuance of an additional $83,409 in bonds of said count of the County of Ulster, New York, to pay part of the cost of the replacement of Woven Bridge on Zena Road in and for said county.
Archer.
Yes.
Bartels.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
DeLon.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Eckert.
Yes.
Fabiano.
Yes.
Geraldine. Green. Haynes.
Yes.
Hepner.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Mayo.
Yes.
Maloney James.
Yes.
Maloney Joseph.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Petit.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Ronk.
Yes.
Woro.
Yes.
And Waltman.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted, 22 to 0. Resolution 178, authorizing the issuance of an additional $80,810 bonds of the County of Ulster, New York, to pay part of the cost of the replacement of the Fantine-Kill Bridge in and for said county. Archer.
Yes.
Bartels.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
DeLon.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Eckert.
Yes.
Fabiano.
Yes.
Geraldine.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Haynes.
Affirmative.
Hepner.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Mayo.
Yes.
Maloney James.
Yes.
Maloney Joseph.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Petit.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Ronk.
Yes.
Woro.
Yes.
And Waltman.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted, 22 to 0. Resolution 180, authorizing the reconstruction of the Donahue Bridge in and for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $236,930, and authorizing the issuance of $236,930 in bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof.
Archer.
Yes.
Bartels.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
DeLon.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Eckert.
Yes.
Fabiano.
Yes.
Geraldine. Green.
Yes.
Haynes.
Yes.
Hepner.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Mayo.
Yes.
Maloney James.
Yes.
Maloney Joseph.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Petit.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Affirmative.
Ronk.
Yes.
Waro.
Yes.
And Waltman.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0.
Resolution 182, authorizing the issuance of an additional $250,000 bonds of set of the County of Ulster, New York, to pay part of the cost of construction of asphalt shoulders along Lucas Turnpike in Kingston, New York, in and for said county.
Archer.
Yes.
Bartels.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
DeLon.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Eckert.
Yes.
Fabiano.
Yes.
Geraldine.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Haynes.
Yes.
Hepner.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Mayo.
Yes.
Maloney James.
Yes.
Maloney Joseph.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Petit.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Ronk.
Yes.
Waro.
Yes.
And Waltman.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0.
Resolution 183, authorizing the conveyance of county-owned properties to the original owners, Department of Finance.
Legislator Geraldine.
I'd like to make a statement on this resolution, parcel 165. There's some legal questions regarding the LLC. We're asked by the Finance Department to take this off until next month until they're resolved.
Is there a second?
Second.
On the amendment?
We are short, yes.
Oh, yes.
The amendment is adopted 22-0.
On the resolution as amended?
Short, yes.
Short, yes.
The resolution is adopted as amended 22-0.
Resolution 196, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into a lease renewal agreement with Vandale Properties, LLC, for a fabrication facility to be used by the Ulster County Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds.
Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. I considered voting no on this resolution largely as an act of symbolism with my frustration with this property and this lease, but I'm going to support it tonight knowing that we have a 60-day exit clause and that I don't want to see us without a facility come July. In bringing this up and hearing about it again, which I heard about it my first year in the legislature many years ago, I researched and looked back over the Freeman's articles and found articles dating back to 2003 and the frustration of the legislature at that time with the then chair's action to sign a lease without coming back to the legislature after making modifications to the lease, effectively pulling the move of Central Auto into that building, which is what the legislature thought they were approving. It was a contentious approval. It was three times the cost of the current facility. I know that this building houses our bridge fabrication facility, and I look forward to working with Legislator Fabiano and Public Works and hope that our Public Works Committee will work with the Executive's Office to undertake a thorough study both of the facility as it exists and what alternatives could exist in this county, including constructing and fabricating our own facility. I've heard word here and there that such studies have been undertaken, but I've never seen such studies. And if they were undertaken, I expect that they're outdated. And now is the time. We spend a tremendous amount of money on this lease, and we deserve to do the due diligence that the taxpayers deserve in terms of looking into alternatives for this facility. Thank you.
On the resolution?
We are a short yes with one no. Legislator Joe Maloney.
I'm going to
be a yes.
You're a yes. All right. Any others?
All right. We are a short yes with one no. Legislator Donaldson.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. Resolution 197, establishing a policy to limit participation in party politics.
No, that was my fault.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's my fault.
I was surprised it was on there.
No, we're done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we
moved. We moved 198, and we moved 204. We're done.
That's it. Everyone, please remain seated and remain quiet while Legislator Lynn Eckert reads the names of the people we're adjourning the meeting in memory of.
Nicholas H. Steyer, Socrates, New York. Harold C. Holly, Montgomery Village, Maryland. Susan J. DeSico, Kingston, New York. Mary P. Mongeli, Woodstock, New York. Marjorie J. Combs, Kingston, New York. Alicia Helbach, Marion, New York. William Mower, Saugerties, New York. Theodore M. Baker, Jr., Marlboro, New York. Betty Farrakhan, West Camp, New York. Geraldine B. Kirby, Wallkill, New York. Walter C. Jaruswick, Lake Placid, Florida. Beatrice M. Van Nostrand, New Paltz, New York. Helen A. Boehm, New Paltz, New York. Billy Davis, Kingston, New York. George F. McArdle, Kingston, New York. Martin H. Lonestein, Ellenville, New York. Claire Cochran, Lake Katrine, New York. Joan E. Alstrom, Kingston, New York. Vera J. Koenig, Highland, New York. John R. Soshu, Wallkill, New York. Josephine F. McManus, Wallkill, New York. Jimmy Flanagan, Stone Ridge, New York. John A. Bradshaw, Olive Bridge, New York. Nancy A. Riddy, Saugerties, New York. Donald P. Du Bois, Daytona Beach, Florida. Dennis O'Mara, Wallkill, New York.
Before we add any names, I just want to highlight two on the list. Nicholas Steyer is our good friend Joe Steyer, Deputy Joe Steyer's father from Saugerties. Joe heads our dive team, and he also is the security guard, the sheriff's deputy, who's on duty downstairs at the sheriff's desk. And Dennis O'Mara passed away this week. Dennis was a long time member of the Wallkill School Board, Wallkill Central School District School Board. He was I don't know if he was on the school board when you were in school, Hector, but he was on the school board when I was in elementary school. And he was the one school board member who would attend all school events. He would attend sporting events, all the football games and baseball games and concerts. And he was the one school board member that every student would know. He made a point of it to meet all the students. He passed away in a fire over the last couple of days. And he's really going to be missed in the school district and the community. So, Mary?
I'd like to add the name of Theodore Anderson, Jr. from Saugerties, New York. He was a building inspector in Saugerties and the father of close friends of mine.
Legislator Bartels?
I'd like to add the name Jeremiah Sullivan of Gardner, a close family friend who will be greatly missed.
Legislator Rodriguez?
Just a very, very brief moment just to recognize that B. Van Ostrom on that list. That is a major sort of milestone of the history of New Paltz, sort of, you know, falling by the wayside there. I mean, B and Fred were institutions in our community. And it is just worth to note that she basically helped to keep the Grange alive when others thought it couldn't be. So,
Legislator Donaldson?
Like to add Mel Kitcart. Mel Kitcart.
Mel Kitcart. With that, hearing no others, the next regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature will be held on June 19th, 2018 at 7 p.m. in Legislative Chambers, 6th floor, Ulster County Office Building, 244 Ferris Street, Kingston, New York. I will be calling a special meeting of the legislature next week. You'll be getting notice of that tomorrow. To discuss the restorative justice center resolutions that were postponed in Ways and Means this evening. Resolution deadline is Wednesday, May 30th, 2018 at 12 noon. Legislator Litz.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion for adjournment.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.